please clarify specifically, have you taken a cognitive
no,
test?
No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not. What do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President
are you a junkie?
What do you say?
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 Wipe out.
Yes, you too can get all Joe Biden's greatest wipeout hits. Biden.
Are you a junkie?
Wipeout. Joe Biden snaps at a black reporter. That reporter was black. Asked him if he said junkie. Can you imagine if the other side did this? It would be a scandal. What's next? He's going to ask him if his relatives were slaves. I mean, these guys are out of control. Biden snaps a black reporter after cognitive test question. You a junkie?
Are you a junkie, man, or what? What's going on over there? You're a black guy. Are you a junkie? Are you on heroin? Are you on smack?
Mainstream media is like, oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I mean, the reporter was black, right? I mean, Biden. It's insane. Joe Biden bristled at a question about whether or not he's taken a cognitive test, asking an interviewer today, Tuesday morning, whether he would pass a drug test, and stumbling over his words several times in the course of 1 minute. Biden claiming he had not taken a cognitive test is a reversal from a statement he made in June.
I've been tested and I'm constantly tested, Biden responded to when asked by a reporter about his mental assessment.
All you've got to do is watch me, and I can hardly wait to compare my cognitive capability to the cognitive capability of the man I'm running against. I sure hope he beats Eisenhower, because that's where his head's at. Wow, that's intense. Pain in the morning, August 6th. Oh, August 6th. August 6th. That's, Extortion 17. Those SEALs were killed in action, including Maddie Mills, who I knew and had worked with and worked around, and that's another story. So rest in peace to those SEALs. I believe it was August 6th, Extortion 17, so God. I didn't even think about it until I just saw the date. Rest in peace, boys. Number of the country's best killed in action. Another riddle-filled operation. And was their location leaked overseas to terrorists so they could be shot down? Ask the Obama and Biden administration. Wow. That puts a damper on my mood for the show real quick, but I'll try to bounce back. I was going to Google it, but I'm pretty sure it's August 6th. It's in my brain, so if it's there, unless I'm pulling a Joe Biden, it's probably right. Shout out to the folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. And we appreciate, I'll go back to a little bit of Wipeout while I'm yapping. Trying to bring the mood back up. after the Extortion 17 situation. Shout out to the folks on subscribestar.com/truepundit too. Folks watching Pain of the Morning, the video. A man literally coming unglued and based on the affairs of the country, the state of the nation, and the state of Philadelphia. This is the third podcast without electricity. We did the Big Wednesday podcast. You got to listen to that thing, episode 35. That's a monster. We did Pain in the Morning yesterday. No electricity. We're doing this by candlelight, gasoline. Ted Kaczynski had a better operation than we had. At least he had an electric typewriter. I don't know what's going on in Philadelphia. Nobody does. Pico is, everybody knows Philadelphia Electric Company. Give me a break. These guys are like, yeah, well, we'll get to it. When? From the storms, the power's out. We'll get to it. It's like, whatever. These guys, I don't know. They're smoking some good weed or something. We might get power back. We might not. It's a smoker. I'm in here sweating it up, listening to Joe Biden and the Safaris play Wipeout. We'll go back to the Safaris later today, I think, as well. But we're going to have to make some changes around here. We keep losing power. Again, thanks on those platforms, patreon.com/truepundit, subscribestar.com/truepundit, the video podcast. We appreciate your support, your patronage, and everything we upload on there, the More Pain Show. There's more coming, too. We're cooking up some things for subscribers, and it makes a big difference, as I've said. Let's roll. Second headline, Democrats up the stimulus demand to $3.4 trillion in an odd negotiating tactic. So they didn't get what they wanted under, what, $2 trillion or $3 trillion? So they said, oh, okay, we'll just up the demand. What? How about some Buddy Guy? We haven't listened to Buddy Guy, one of my favorite blues men, and I have many. Buddy Guy playing money, because that's what it's all about, to Nancy Pelosi and her. Unbelievable, Nancy. House Democrat Speaker Nancy Pelosi just revealed that congressional Democrats not only won't budge on their $3 trillion stimulus package passed by the House in May. She wants some money and some chocolate and some ice cream, but mostly money and your money. She's upped the demand to $3.4 trillion in order to settle on the deal. Sing it, buddy. Ask this by CNN's Manu Raju if she still wants a stimulus deal this week and if she has a price tag she'd be willing to settle on. Pelosi replied, yeah. Yes, $3.4 trillion. And some chocolates. I love my chocolates. Ah, my chocolates, my chocolates. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Mitch Ditch McConnell, who has called the $3 trillion Democratic proposal another big laundry list that he likes to approve. Mitch always comes out, oh, well, this is preposterous. And 2 months later, let's vote on it and prove it. Sounds pretty good. This guy's the biggest phony. This guy's basically a Democrat. McConnell has flat out rejected the left's package and has instead defended the Senate GOP's $1 trillion stimulus bill. Oh, boy, big fucking difference. Well, we already spent $7 to $10 trillion on this Corona con. What's another $1 trillion? Mitch is, I don't like the $3 trillion. I like my $1 trillion. So where are they going to settle at? 2 point what? As a compromise. See how they do this? You got the top, you got the bottom, they'll settle in the middle and get exactly what everybody wanted.
Now, we've come to a compromise. We work together to rip you off. Yeah, thank you. We worked hard on this. We were up all night. We're not going home until we rip you off another couple of $1 trillion.
The top Democratic and White House negotiators have held hours of talks. See what I'm talking about? I don't even read it and I understand. It's insane. Hours of talks this week in hopes of reaching a deal on another round of stimulus spending, as key deadlines on extending a federal eviction moratorium and federal unemployment benefits have come and gone. Pelosi, when asked if it's really feasible to get a deal this week, given how far apart the two sides are, said,
at some point, you just have to freeze the design.
Oh, really? Just like your brain's been frozen like Walt Disney's? What the fuck are you talking about? Freeze the design. We have a quote from her. Where is it? Where's she at? I think she talked more about it. Let's see.
Very dark. Very dark. Very dark chocolate. You like dessert. Well, I like chocolate. I'm not indiscriminate. I don't consider anything that isn't chocolate dessert. Now, it could be like a nice fruit thing, and you consider it fruit, but not dessert.
Oh, I'm so with you.
Yes. Sometimes I like it as an hors d'oeuvre, chocolate hors d'oeuvre. I eat very dark.
Chocolate hors d'oeuvre, yeah. That's somebody who's... Jane Pauley.
Oh, I'm so with you, man.
She's doing her Sammy Davis.
Hey, Nancy, man. Hey, Speaker, man. You're a cool cat. I'm so with you on the chocolate, man. I'm so down with that, man. Some of my friends used to call me dark chocolate. You know what I mean, man?
Jane Pauley going right along. My God. Did the story yesterday, that dope Lawrence tribe. Lawrence, I can't find any members from my tribe from Harvard. He said that this woman could be president.
Dark.
If there's a no.
Very dark chocolate. You like dessert.
If it's a standoff in the 2020 election in November, this bird brain could be
anything that isn't chocolate.
President.
Now, it could be like a nice fruit thing, and you consider it fruit, but not dessert.
Not chocolate.
Oh, I'm so with you.
I'm so with Sometimes you, man. You are one cool chick, man.
Jane Sammy Davis Pauley from the you have to have.
Hey, I love when you said, man, we need to freeze the design, man. Is that like a reference to Walt Disney, man, who froze his head in crypto, man, or cryo? I don't know what it's called, man. I only have one eye, man.
You can't. This is insane. These people are crazy. Where's my clip?
I have a lunch meeting at Hubert's in 20 minutes with Ronald Harrison. I need those sheets cleaned by this afternoon. Listen, I cannot understand you. This is crazy. You're a fool. I can't cope with the stupid bitchy. Understand?
Let's get back to the music and the news. Protesters sue Seattle, claiming they need expensive protective gear to demonstrate safely. Oh, boy. Let's go with some Aretha. Rest in peace. A group of protesters has filed a lawsuit against the city of Seattle claiming the police department's anti-riot tactics have forced demonstrators to buy prohibitively expensive protective gear in order to continue to enjoy their First Amendment rights. This is akin to a bank robber asking the bank manager to pay for the ski mask, gloves, and the gun. I made that part up. That's not part of the story. I can just do that on the fly. That's how it works. KIRO TV reported that the suit was filed Monday on behalf of five protesters who attended the July 25th protest on Capitol Hill that police later declared a riot, seeking an order from a judge to stop the city from using controversial tactics on protesters, including blast balls and pepper spray. Can't the police in Seattle just loan these people? Loan the rioters their protective and SWAT gear. They're not using it. The police aren't using it.
All right, here you go.
It's like in Stripes. when the Russians, was it the Russians? Or the, I don't remember. The guys just handed the weapons right over from the back of the truck over to the enemy. Oh, here you go, guys. John Candy. Yeah, here you go. There you go. We don't want any trouble. Because protesters now must purchase expensive equipment to be assured that they will be able to protest safely, the filing claims the indiscriminate use of weapons by the Seattle Police Department implicates equal protection. This is a fucking chain of fools. Not bad. It's like 15 minutes in. I think it's my first F-bomb. The suit goes on to say that each of the plaintiffs was unable to protest for a period of time for want of additional gear necessitated by the police department's unmitigated and indiscriminate tactics utilized without restraint. We usually like to warm up by burning down a few playgrounds and then we burn down some buildings and if you could just get out of our way, it would be much better. Actually, can you give us the gas can and the road flares? No, we're suing you. This is bullshit. I might have to take some extra water to the show because it is a smoker in here. I don't know. It's probably like 85 degrees. It's a little Bay of Pigs in here. That's okay. The show must go on, even if we have to tape 26 times because the generator keeps kicking out and small roadblocks, speed bumps, that kind of thing. Plaintiffs further argue that the continued misuse of war munitions by police against civilians turns the streets, a public forum and a site of protest, into a pay-to-protest racket where only a privileged few who are wealthy enough and popular enough to crowdsource funds to purchase gear akin to that used by police department can truly be in the streets. This is fucking insane, by the way. Where's? I want to go back to the chocolates after listening to this. Fox News reported that some of the items listed as necessary protest gear include boots, gloves, helmets, and gas masks. So we need to fund these people. Hey, remember that show American Gladiator? This could be good. We dress these people up in the same as cops, and we see if they can run the gamut, run the gauntlet, and make it through. Maybe we can wager on it, too. I crowdsource some for some used equipment for these vagabonds and vagrants to wear. Hell, I'd even get out there and give them a couple shoulders. Stick them a little bit. Give me a boom. Give me a street hockey stick. Go show them a couple tricks. How about a stick ball stick? An old broom handle? Whack. Back of the legs. Nothing hurts worse than that. Or in hockey, back of the heels where there's no pads. Man. Watch them fall like a tree. These people are just stupid, crazy, and insane and unemployed. And you know what's funny about these people? They'll never go anywhere in life, even if they settle with their stupid lawsuit. These people are perpetually doomed as victims. Victims never go anywhere because they can't get outside themselves. They're not successful people. They'll never have success. They'll always be vagrants, scum queens, gutter snipes, and sewer rats. Thank you. Good night. Oh, boy. Crime soars in New York City's Upper East Side as Dems move to defund police. Now, the Upper East Side, that's not cool. That's where all the billionaires live. Like, the West Side is like, ah. When the West Side is getting pummeled, the people on the East Side are like, oh, that's unfortunate that they can't live near the park. Well, that's what happens. You want to live on the West Side. Now they're coming up to the East Side. Get a drink. It's no good. That's where the rich people and the elites were hiding on the East Side from the West Side chaos. These guys, how are they going to make it through the night now? Let's go to some Elvis. Take the ribbon from hair. Help me make it through the night. These guys are going to need some help.
Shake it loose. Let it fall.
Crime is soaring in New York City's Upper East Side, home of many of America's billionaires, as Democrats, including Mayor Bill de Blasio, continue their efforts to defund the police. New York City's Upper East Side, overseen by NYPD's 19th Precinct, has seen a tremendous uptick in criminal activity over the last month. According to the precinct, they have experienced a significant uptick in robberies over the course of the last month, representing a 286% increase from 2019. 286% increase. And that doesn't even include the official robberies committed by de Blasio and Cuomo. Cuomo, who robbed a lot of people of their lives in recent months. My God. As of August 3rd, the precinct reported 14 gunpoint robberies to date. Last year, the East Upper East Side saw only 14 already as of August 3rd. While you wanted to move on up, you might have to move on out. The 19th Precinct revealed that three of those robberies, all separate, occurred within a one-hour period, ending with three arrests. The difference is, folks, in these areas, they make arrests. In the West Side, it's like, yeah, so you got shot? What are you doing out here this hour? As Fox noted, many of the areas hit during Saturday night's spree are only a stone's throw from where the ultra-wealthy are said to live. What do you mean they're said to live? They fucking live there. I'm like,
according to sources, rich people live on the East Side. Yeah, we're working on it. They got Shep Smith over there. He's got no pants on. He's working on it.
That includes billionaire financier Henry Kravis, as well as billionaire hedge fund managers John Paulson and Glenn Dubin. One of the gunpoint robberies occurred a block away from Kravis's house. My God! This neighborhood is going so crass. And tomorrow's out of sight. And it's sad to be alone. Help me make it through the night. Yeah, I mean, this is... What did you expect? I mean, you think it was going to stay downtown, West Side? No, it's going to move. The police are letting it... It's complete chaos. Oh, man. Yesterday is dead and gone. And tomorrow was out of sight. And it's sad to be alone. Help me make it through the night. You're going to need some help.
I don't want to be alone.
You're going to need some help up there.
Help me make it through the night.
Just shine the Thomas Paine light up in the sky. I'll come. We need those guardian angels back. We need Curtis Lee with his group fully funded and back in the fray, even though Curtis is a wild man. But hey, we need wild men and women for sure. Headline, Gretchen Whitmer, you know, crazy Gretchen from the block. It's like, remember Gretchen from the block? She used to come around. She had crazy eyes. She was crazy. Remember her? Gretchen Whitmer. Blocks a GOP bill that would have kept coronavirus patients out of nursing homes. This is like Gretchen's theme song right here. Crazy Gretchen. This woman, something else. There's a lot of people in Michigan and New York and New Jersey, Pennsylvania, older folks that are have died in other people's arms because of these crazy governors. They should be all up on a manslaughter beef. You guys remember the cutting crew? Died in your arms? I had a couple of friends. This was their wedding song. Didn't last too long.
Is this really their wedding song? Honey, get that envelope back. We'll mail it to them. We'll see if they last. Postdate that check for next year.
Michigan Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Okay. That's Whitmer. That wasn't a Freudian slip, believe me. Vetoed a Republican bill on Friday that would have kept coronavirus patients out of nursing homes and placed them in entirely separate facilities, an effort aimed at protecting the most vulnerable to developing serious complications from the coronavirus. Thank God that the story from the Daily Wire lets us know that the coronavirus originated in China. We didn't know that. The bill was a direct challenge to the Whitmer administration's current handling of nursing homes during the COVID-19 pandemic, which has focused on caring for those with the virus in isolated spaces of existing homes. Oh, okay. Choking other people out.
Oh, we like to focus on killing certain segments and then moving on. We don't need this extra stuff.
About 33% of the state's deaths linked to the virus have been nursing home residents or employees, according to state data.
Now, we don't need any interference. We're doing a great job at killing people all by ourselves. Democrats, thank you.
Senator Peter Lucido blasted Whitmer's decision not to make more action to protect vulnerable seniors in nursing homes, which account for more than 41% of the country's pandemic fatalities. According to the New York Times, they should know. Crazy Cuomo led the charge. Back in the day, there would have been the New York Times would have been covering this and doing stories instead of kissing Cuomo's ass, writing puff pieces on him and his brother. And who's a better cook? Who can better cook pasta? They cooked a lot of geese in the last few months, killing a lot of people. It's just insane. It's sad. Country has lost its way. These people should be doing a perp walk. Whitmer said in a letter Friday that, and by the way, New York journalism is fucking dead. The market I worked in that was cutthroat, I came up in, I learned, really competitive, it's dead. It's filled with fucking zombies, criminals, corruptocrats, posers, activists, hobos, Ivy League pansies. Anyway, Whitmer said in a letter Friday that she voted the bill down because it's based on the false premise that isolation units created within existing facilities are somehow insufficient to protect seniors, even though you guys are killing a lot of seniors. This is insane, these people. You show them facts that they killed a lot of seniors, you're like, wow, they had it coming. They got old. They knew what they were getting into when they got older. This was always a risk to die. This is like what you're dealing with. These people are so twisted up. Headline. Only 42% say they will get the coronavirus vaccine. Yeah, you know why? Because it's poison. That's why. It is poison. And let's go to some poison. We haven't played any poison. What do we got? People not taking the coronavirus vaccine is something to believe in, as far as I'm concerned. Only 42% of American adults say they will get the coronavirus vaccine, according to a Yahoo News, a YouGov poll. And we all know they're fucking authorities on whatever they poll. It's like BuzzFeed polls.
How many rubber bands do you put around a watermelon before it explodes? It's compelling and rich. Back in early May, when the poll first started asking this question, 55% said they would agree to get vaccinated. I got to take some water in a second. I am boiling. Slippage has occurred every month since. In late May, the number dropped to 50%. In early June, it was 46%. Now we're down to 42%. Probably because all the people that are dying were previously polled. We can't reach these people. I don't know. There's reports of Fauci showing up in a wood-paneled station wagon with people in white coats and taking these people away. Let me grab some water. Hold on. I don't remember, and a war he can't forgive. He cried, forgive me for what I done there, 'cause I never meant the things I did. Hoping to get some power back tomorrow. Because I should play the power back, right? Rage Against the Machine. It should be noted that there is no vaccine as of yet, but there has been much talk of a miracle vaccine. Where is this from? A miracle be if you leave me the fuck alone about taking your shitty battery acid vaccine. That'll be the goddamn miracle. Should be noted there's no vaccine. A miracle vaccine's right around the corner. You know, just like the findings of the Durham investigation. Now, that's funny. Well, to begin with, no one likes to hear the words rushing and vaccine in the same sentence. Or Bill Gates. Or Anthony Fauci. That little fucking medical Rumpelstiltskin better not be showing up in this news report. I haven't looked at the news here. Other than headlines to help pick out music. If I see Rumpelstiltskin... If I see Fauci still skin, there's going to be trouble. Most of us are going to wait to see what happens to others, to those who are willing to jump immediately on board the vaccination train. Yeah, why not? Why not? You guys go first. We're right behind you. How far? 10 years. Folks, it's a 8%? People survive this? The fuck would you take a vaccine for? Are you stupid? I've said this before. Are you that much of a chicken shit coward? Bird brain wimp? Soy latte weirdo? You scared of your own shadow? How are you
guys gonna fight in the Civil War, man, if you're scared of your own shadow, huh?
I'm a survivor of this war, man. The vaccine war. I survived in the street, man. We marched in the street.
Vaccine war. Well underway. Well, that's good news is that the numbers are coming down of the people who want to poison themselves. With Bill Gates's... Who knows what's in that? A little bit of everything. Little Mad Dog 2020, a little Night Train. A little bit of everything in there. Hopefully get those numbers down to about 30%. But it doesn't matter because I'm reading the next fucking headline and you wouldn't even be able to believe it. You wouldn't even be able to believe the next headline about your government.
Trust the government. We trust the White House. We trust everybody. It's 5D chess, the vaccine, the masks. Yeah. See, they're doing that just to trick the other side. So you poison yourself, and then it tricks the other... You don't understand 5D chess, man. You don't understand. You're stupid.
Well, for those in that camp, listen to this one. U.S. government and Yale hold trials on how to best persuade Americans to take the COVID-19 vaccine. These are some smooth criminals, I'll tell you that. The U.S. federal government in collaboration, the White House and the federal government really care about you. They're working with the liberal bird brains at Yale to figure out how to get you to poison yourself.
They shouldn't be collaborating with Yale. They should be collaborating with Native American leaders who they poisoned years ago with blankets laced with smallpox.
What is he talking? Why does he keep talking about these blankets? Does he have some kind of ownership stake in these Aztec blankets? What is going on with this guy with the blankets?
You have to Google it. You wouldn't even believe it. Younger people are like, what?
Well, we never learned that in school. Now, what's the capital of what's the capital of California? We know that stuff, but Americans were poisoned by the government?
Yeah, a couple times. More than a couple. These guys are smooth criminals, I'll tell you that. The whole fucking cartel. U.S. federal government, in collaboration with Yale University, held clinical trials to determine what the best messaging would be to persuade Americans to take the COVID-19 vaccine when it's ready. Why does the government give two fucks all of a sudden about the vaccine? When that happens, run. Anytime the government is pushing something, say, yeah, okay, oh yeah, I'm going to take it, and turn around and get the hell out of town. The news of this study does show an interest in finding the best way to persuade people into an ideal decision for the federal government and likely vaccine makers. And it also shows that a mandatory vaccine campaign may still be plan B down the road, as opposed to plan A. The official title of the trial was Persuasive Messages for COVID-19 Vaccine Uptake, a Randomized Controlled Trial, Part 1. Yeah. Part two is you taking it, you know where. Step one, we shove it down your throat. Step two, if you don't like it, we put a bag over your head and choke you out anyhow. The study essentially looks at the best possible messaging that can be used on Americans, ranging from expressing vaccine benefits to using messaging about economic impact. Yeah.
If you don't take the vaccine, you're not going to make any money. And you won't be able to spend any money. So that's our economic impact. And that concludes our presentation. A two-slide presentation on economic impact.
That was a hell of a PowerPoint. We got out of there early. Also, making someone feel guilty or embarrassed for not taking the vaccine, that's also on the table. Yeah. Just start carrying around a wiffle ball bat. Anybody fucking says anything to me, they get cracked across the back of the legs. Try reporting that to police. You were hit with a bat?
Well, it wasn't a bat. It was one of those. It was like big and red. It's like a big bat, like a wiffle ball bat. Get out of here, you hobo.
That's serious stuff. People burning down buildings. Come on, you got hit with a Fat Albert wiffle ball bat? Get out of here. The study looked at around 4,000 participants age 18 years and up, all of whom had to be U.S. residents, of course. Well, that's nice. We wouldn't want anybody here who's here illegally to get poisoned, just the Americans.
You're here illegally and you're not. Go over there. We don't want you to get hurt. Anyone who's been here and families have been here for years, line up over here. We won't try to kill you.
It's crazy. This reminds me of this song. Quick drink time. We don't need no thought control. Apparently we do need thought control. Here are various arms used in the study when it came to messaging, were as follows. Control the message, baseline message, personal freedom message. I mean, you could have a field day with this as a comedian or whatever. Satire. Personal freedom message.
If you don't want to wear handcuffs, get the vaccine.
Personal economic freedom message. We talked about that. Self-interest message. If you want to stay alive, the vaccine's for you. Community interest message.
Don't be the guy who doesn't get the vaccine and we have to burn your house down. We've seen it. We'll put a big letter on your house. a big V, which means you didn't take the vaccine, and then, well, the mob will come and take care of it. You wish you had that vaccine, you son of a bitch.
Economic benefit message. Guilt message. Jesus. This is the fucking government. The government who's pushing for this. This is insane. Did you vote for this? I didn't. These people are crazy. Guilt message. They should sign up my grade school nuns for that. They're fucking professionals. All right. These hobos at Yale are rookies. Bring the pros in. Bring the nuns in. Embarrassment message. Anger message. Could you imagine anger? They're going to... Trust in science message. Oh, okay. Hopefully you won't have Fauci on that poster. Fuck's sake. Not brave message. You're not brave if you don't take the vaccine. Yeah, right. Instead, I'm taking a blowtorch. The whole... I'll show you brave, you son of a bitch. Not brave. This is what they're doing. This is propaganda. I hate to say it. This is like the same kind of stuff you know who was doing back in the day. They wore the armbands. Why does the government give two fucks whether you take the vaccine or not? You know why? Because it's not going to be voluntary. You don't go to this kind of trouble and you don't go to these lengths if you're offering a voluntary anything. This is going to, they're going to shove this down your throat. They just said it. They're planning on using a control message, a baseline. They're going to use sticks, right? Carrot in the sticks. The carrot is, oh, your life will be fucking great if you take this vaccine. And the stick is, if you don't, you're not going to have personal freedom. You're not going to have economic freedom. It's in your self-interest to take the vaccine. It's in your community's interest to take the vaccine. It's in your economic benefit to take the vaccine. If not, you'll be guilted. You'll be embarrassed. Others will show anger toward you. You're not brave. How can you have any pudding if you don't take Bill Gates' vaccine? We've come full circle from Pink Floyd. It's become now almost an anthem for the vaccine and situation that we're in. We're going to continue with this story. I just want to... Well, we were talking about poison, so let's do a little bit more poison. While we finish out this story. Every rose has a thorn. You're not kidding. We have a number of... This rose has a lot of thorns right now in the country. And this is one of them. They are going to bend this any way they can. This square peg, they're going to pound the shit out of this into the round hole, and you're going to be holding the bag. I'm not going to put up with this shit. I'm not taking any vaccine. You want to see a fucking wild man? Go ahead and push me. You ain't seen nothing yet. We'll go back to college, boys. You guys that listen to my fraternity, you know. You know I can. Primary outcome measures. Intention to get COVID-19 vaccine. This is a self-reported measure immediately after the intervention message of the likelihood of getting a COVID-19 vaccination within 3 months and then 6 months of it becoming available. During analysis, responses among those assigned to different intervention messages will be compared to those in the control group. This is what they use to measure during their study. Secondary outcome measures. A vaccine confidence scale. Persuade others scale. This is a measure of willingness to persuade others to take the COVID-19 vaccine. Like, let me guess. Tom Hanks getting paid and his fucking people. You know, the Hollywood guys who are out of work. We don't have it. Can't make any movies. Can't make any TV shows. And they're sitting around on Twitter and social media and they're trying to get noticed. Look at me. I'm still important. Look at me. Oh, great. I just got a big contract to persuade others to take the COVID-19 vaccine. You don't think it's coming? You don't think a fucking phony like Hanks, a deep state phony like Hanks, will be all over this.
My wife and I had COVID-19, and we would probably get it again if it wasn't for the vaccine. Please, do what's responsible and get the vaccine. Be like us. Be like me.
Listen, weirdo, go talk to your fucking volleyball. No one's taking the vaccine with a brain. Here's another one. Stoke fear of those who have not been vaccinated. That's the fucking government's game, the fear game. These guys are pros. They don't need to bring in the nuns for that. These guys are the pros. This is a measure of a comfort with an unvaccinated individual visiting an elderly friend after a vaccine becomes available. Tugging at the heartstrings. Don't worry about the unvaccinated individual visiting the elderly friend. Worry about Cuomo and his pals having domain over your elderly friend. They're more likely to kill that person than any unvaccinated individual because they've already done it. Stoke social judgment of those who do not vaccinate. This is a scale composed of four items measuring the trustworthiness, selfishness, likableness, and competence of those who choose not to get vaccinated after a vaccine comes available. Well, you'll see these people all over social media before it's over. They'll be like fucking Yul Brynner's anti-smoking commercials, but that was against lung cancer. You're not going to die of this stuff if you get it. According to statistics and studies, 99.8% survive, but now the government's gone to great lengths to try to figure out how to get you to stand in line and poison yourself. And I have to wonder how many fucking morons are actually going to do this. They're going to make a compelling case to try to shove it down your throat, though. There's no doubt. We'll have to revisit that. That is out of control. It's good reporting there, too. Read that full story on truepundit.com on the Thomas Paine, Pain in the Morning, 8-6. Headline. Headline, veteran virologist slams mainstream media's misinformation about the effective COVID treatment. I guess this is about hydroxychloroquine. What do we got? Na, na, na. Whew, what a day. It's a smoker in here. How about some Savoy Brown? Water break. Listen to these licks. Savoy Brown's Tell Mama. We need to tell Mama, don't take the vaccine. And don't take any shit from these government types trying to shove stuff down your throat. That's what you got to tell mama. And you tell your grandmama. And your grandfather. Spread the word. These criminals took everything from you. Now they want to take your blood. Want to take over your body. They took your fucking bank account. They took your house. They took your job. They took your food. Right? Now they want to take your body. Yeah. 15 days. Now 15 days, you're all going to die. Bullshit. Fuck you. Don't get me started. I swear to Christ. I'm going to have to cue up some Yanni to calm the fuck down. Veteran virologist slams mainstream media's misinformation about an effective COVID treatment. Everywhere you turn, this criminal cartel of medical Sanhedrin in D.C. is just lying and and spouting lies after lies and discrediting people who are trying to share credible information, alternative medicines. It's so rigged. It's fucking scary. But now, the government is behind it, conspiring with Yale to figure out how to best shove this down your fucking throat.
Oh, that was just a study. That was bullshit.
Just a study? The fuck out of here. The government should be figuring out how to put these people in jail that are on the coronavirus task force in the White House. Instead, they're figuring out how to conspire with these people to stick you with poison, unproven poison that could kill you. What the fuck is going on? This is Orwellian and beyond. This makes Orwell's books look like Curious George. And the man in the yellow hat, you better wise up. On Friday, July 31st, in a column ostensibly dealing with the healthcare misinformation, Washington Post medical critic Margaret Sullivan, Sullivan's a real, poor Mr. Sullivan, opened by lambasting fringe doctors spouting dangerous falsehoods about hydrochloroquine as COVID-19 wonder cure. Sullivan, who spent a career as a fringe journalist spouting dangerous falsehoods just about everything she writes about. Actually, it was Sullivan who was spouting dangerous falsehoods about the drug. Yeah, just like I said. Something the Washington Post and much of the rest of the media have been doing for 4 months. On May 15th, the Post offered a stark warning to any American who may have taken hope in the possible therapy for COVID-19. In the newspaper's telling, there was nothing unambiguous about the science or the politics of hydrochloroquine, a drug promoted by Trump as a coronavirus game changer, increasingly linked to deaths, blared the headline. That claim is nonsense. A bias against the use of hydrochloroquine for COVID-19, and the Washington Post is hardly alone. Massively biased. You know why? They all in it together. They're all in it together. That's all you need to know. These guys are an arm of the Democratic DC cartel. There's no unbiased media. Fuck out of here. Even we're not biased. Unbiased. Definitely biased. Just admit it. Fuck's sake. Stupid not to. The Post described in April 20... Tell Mama I can't speak. It's been a long day and it's hot. I should have done the show with a mask on. Maybe I could have choked myself out at the 30-minute mark, passed out. I'd probably get better ratings if I passed out and banged my head off the keyboard.
It's just laying there. Mildred's just laying there now. He's milking it.
You have no idea some of the people. I'm lampooning some of the crazy stuff we get from people, complaints. The Post described an April 21st, 2020 drug study by U.S. Veterans Affairs patients hospitalized with the illness. It found a high death rate in patients taking the drug hydrochloroquine. But this was a flawed study with a small sample. The main flaw being that the drug was given to the sickest patients who were already dying because of their age and severe pre-existing conditions. This is insane. They rig this nonstop. The whole Fauci cartel and the Gates cartel. The study was quickly debunked. It has been posted on a non-peer-reviewed medical archive that specifically warns that studies posted on this website should not be reported in the media as established information. Yeah, it's also known as Fauci's bulletin board. Ignoring the refutation of the VA study in its May 15th article, the Washington Post cited a Brazil study published on April 24th in which a COVID trial using chloroquine was stopped because 11 patients treated with it died. The reporters never mentioned another problem with the study. The Brazilian doctors were giving their patients lethal cumulative doses of the drug. We need some spirits in the sky. Everybody's dying. They're killing people. I'm telling you, this has been a recurring theme. They are whacking people to run up the numbers to get what they want. Everybody, and this is all about the money, folks, and control. The big corporations make more money. The little corporations get pushed out. Fauci makes more money for all his big pharma makes more money. Fauci makes money for all his big pharma friends. Fauci gets kickbacks on all this stuff. I'm having a problem speaking tonight. It's so hot. The air is like peanut butter in here. If it gets any thicker, Bill Barr is going to be outside the door with a fucking jar of jelly. A loaf of bread. Guy can smell peanut butter a mile away. Take a look at him. Well, this is the last story. I got to look at this. I have no idea where even what mark we're at, so I'm just going to cut through this story because I think it's an important story. Bear with me. I'm on, I expect this fucking generator to snap at any time. I'm under the gun. I have like 10 more minutes, I think, of generator time, so I'm trying to finish this up in a responsible manner, not speed through it, because I like these stories and I think they're important. Washington Post reporters Ariana Cha and Lori McGinley were back again, added on May 22nd with a new article, shouting out the new supposed news. Anti-malarial drug touted by President Trump is linked to increased risk of death in coronavirus patients, study says. The media uproar this time was based on a large study just published in The Lancet. There was just one problem. The Lancet paper was fraudulent, and it was quickly retracted and debunked and disgraced. However, the damage from the biased media storm was done, and it was long-lasting. See how they work? Doesn't matter if it's true. And they call us fake news. Get the fuck out of here. I'll take a flamethrower to your organization. It's ridiculous. We run circles around these liars. Continuing patient enrollment needed for early use clinical trials of hydroxychloroquine dried up within a week of the report. Patients were afraid to take the drug. Doctors became afraid to prescribe it. And folks, what's not being told is like they're not allowed to prescribe it. Pharmacies refused to fill prescriptions. In a rush of incompetent analysis of non-existent senior leadership, the FDA revoked its emergency use authorization for the drug. The FDA, whose half of the FDA's operating budget comes from Big Pharma. Do the math. And pharmacies are refused to fill prescriptions. But it was okay to pump out fucking opioids. OxyContin. Just pump it out. Thousands of pills to the same people every month. Pill mills. It was okay to do that, to fill those prescriptions and kill people and ruin families. Now you're going to take the high road? You fucking carpetbaggers. Fuck you. I was just reading before we went on the air. The price for remdesivir, $3,000 to $4,000 a dose. They settled on the price for a treatment. What's hydroxychloroquine? $15? Remdesivir is charging, what, $3,000, $4,000? I think it costs $5 to manufacture. And in the U.S., they're going to be charging that. Are you insane? Do you understand what's going on here? This is a con, a scheme, a scam, and it's massive. It's global. And we're supposed to sit here and take this. Fuck that. I'm not playing that game. You guys know where I stand. I'll beat the drums until I can't beat them anymore or until somebody kicks my door in again. I don't put anything past these people. They're already talking about it. Now the government's involved in this stuff and selling this. There's a dark winter ahead, man. Did you vote for this? I didn't. Somebody's getting a lot of money on the back end of this. Look at all your favorite politicians. Where are they at on this? You know where they're at? Right here. They're full of shit, too. I'm not going to go on another tirade because I'm on low battery. Let's just wrap this up here. I think we've gone long enough. It's hard to say how long we've gone. I'm running low on water. I have to prep myself. I better become like a camel to get this stuff done. So I say thanks to the folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit who offer us sponsorship and patronage so we can sit here and try to get some of the truth out to you amid this crazy sea of quicksand of lies that we can quickly and viciously consume us all if we can't seem to find folks and organizations that can help cut through it, cut through the BS and break these things down on the fly. When I see a news story, I can cut right through it. I know it's BS or I know what's behind it because I've been doing this for a long time. It just comes with the territory. It's if you do something long enough and you like what you do and love what you do. I wanted to do this since I was a kid and I'm living a dream. I'm back in journalism. I'm living my dream. So I wanted to do this. This is what I wanted to do. This isn't something that I decided because Trump was running. Oh, I think I'll get involved in this and I'll become a quote unquote journalist. And then I'll take money from rich people and print and say what they want me to. Just like the study of the U.S. government and Yale are conspiring on. It's all propaganda. This is what goes on in the media, especially the right-wing media. Very few real people out here. Everybody's bought and paid for. Pain After Dark, we'll have to roll out the tequila. Start telling you how it really is out here. Watch your fucking head spin and watch the ratings go up. Thanks on those platforms. And we're not funded by millionaires and billionaires, like I said. So if you want to throw us a bone on there, hey, we're all for it, man. And we'll be back tomorrow. Check out episode 35 that we dropped today of the Big Wednesday podcast. Some real heavy dirt on Epstein. A real heavy dirt on Maxwell. Stuff that I don't think you've ever heard from an insider, former business associate and mentor of Jeffrey Epstein. He and I have been talking, and this is the first salvo of first fruits of our discussion. So, and I hope to continue those discussions and present you with real high level intelligence. And it's real eye opener and some heavy stuff about how he made his money. Epstein, where he got his money, and it wasn't Wall Street. We'll just keep it at that. So check out episode 35. We appreciate all the support. It does mean a lot to us as we are small and independent, and we are just trying to kick as much ass as we can with the resources we have. God forbid if I do the tequila show. But we'll see you again. As I say at the end of every show, take care of yourself and God bless you.